Blog Talk Radio.
The Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one best-selling book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you don't have a copy of my book, I'd love to give you the first six chapters free. You can just go to my website, karencan.com, and put your name and email address in at the top. And I'll send you a link that you can download those first six chapters and also get access to five of my Fast Track Your Healing webinar online classes free, which you can access at any time. And they're recorded, and we had so much fun on them. So please, please, please join me. And today I'm really excited because for those of you that have been following my show, you know, we've been interviewing various different healers and nutritionists about all sorts of things that I'm interested in. It's a way of getting a free consult, right, guys? So not that long ago, well, actually it is that long ago, when I was still married to my first husband, we're trying to eat more healthy, and some of you know the story already. So I was trying to do what I thought was more healthy. So we were trying to eat more vegetarian. We thought that was healthier. We thought eating, you know, more soy was healthier. Unfortunately, I didn't understand because we get like, what, 2 hours of nutritional, you know, training in med school, that, pre-made pasta is probably not a great thing. But my ex-husband was really good at cooking Indian food. So we did make quite a bit of, you know, chickpea dishes and lentil dishes and, you know, lots of vegetarian dishes, and it was all amazingly delicious. But incredibly, I was still ravenously hungry after eating all that. And then I got sick with the fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. I've had all sorts of problems with my skin for years since, teenage years. I ended up with leaky gut syndrome. Because I was on birth control pills, I'd taken, you know, steroids for my asthma, and I had all these allergy issues. I was on, you know, a ton of inhalers and nasal sprays and all that kind of stuff. And slowly but surely, you know, I was able to get off all of that. And my acupuncturist said, look, you can't be eating dairy. It's not good for you. And I kind of resisted her at that point. But I thought, what the heck? You know, I'm on all these medications. Let's see if she was right. So I did cut out the dairy, and lo and behold, got better. And then I read the Genotype Diet book and the Blood Type Diet book. I was an O, and I thought, well, I tried that. So I started trying to do some gluten-free stuff. And I thought, oh, you know, I actually think I feel better. And with some other, you know, energy tools and things like that, boy, my skin really, really cleared up. And so I've been having a really great time eating what is now popularly known as the Paleolithic or the Paleo diet. So I read Lauren Cardain's book on the Paleo diet, and I thought there were some interesting things in there that I wasn't really sure whether I agreed with or not. And then I watched the movie, which I did a radio show with the filmmaker, The Perfect Human Diet, talking about like some DNA evidence of, you know, these old humans and how they were, you know, bigger than us and healthier than us. They didn't have dental issues. They didn't have arthritis. And I thought that was pretty interesting too. But then I see another nutritionist, and, you know, and she was saying, well, you know what, the Paleolithic diet is the latest fad because, you know, ancient people did eat some grains, you know, and some of them did eat some dairy. So, you know, this is just the latest fad. If you actually cook your meals correctly, then you shouldn't have that many problems with grains. So I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so I have not interviewed someone who is like a paleo expert. So I was on kind of trolling the internet and was looking for protein bar recipes and found somebody who actually made cookies out of this protein powder called the Perfect Paleo Powder. And I thought, what's this? I've never heard of this. None of my distributors carry it. So I went to the website, Clovis Nutrition, and, of course, I had to read the ingredients, right, on you know, the Perfect Paleo Powder, because you know me, I'm, like, totally detailed, like, to where everything's from. And so I was like, this protein powder is made with salmon, chicken, and beef? No way, I've never heard of this. So, of course, I had to contact them And Justin Nald, who I'm interviewing today, was so kind. He immediately got back to me and answered all my questions about where it was from and, you know, what source and all that kind of stuff. And I basically grilled him. I got to tell you, I grilled him. He was so great about it, too. And then he had this wonderful article I read about why aren't you losing weight on the paleo diet. And at that point, I hadn't quite figured out what was going on with my weight and my expanding waistline, which now I know that there's a huge portion of it is this ascension, you know, spiritual thing. But in the meantime, I think some of the points that he made on this article was really good, and I really wanted to have him on the show today to explain, you know, what it is with some misnomers and some miscommunication, maybe some myths about the paleo diet and how it's helpful, and maybe, you know, pick his brain about what he does and what he does for his clients to help them lose weight and feel great and all that kind of thing. So I'm really happy to have Justin on the show today. He's the president and founder of Clovis, LLC. He is a certified nutritional therapist, an advanced sports nutritionist, and an avid CrossFit athlete and Olympic-style lifter. And what's really interesting is we just opened up a CrossFit gym in our tiny little town of Lake Placid, and it's very popular right now because everybody likes to try something new, but it looks beautiful. They did a great job, so it was really cool. He's also the creator of the Perfect Paleo Powder. That was what I was telling you about. And the world's first and only certified paleo nutritional powder. I mean, it's interesting that it's certified paleo. It's like I'd never even heard of that. So if you want to learn more about this powder, which actually I really, really love, it makes the greatest protein bars ever. And I originally was putting some honey in it, but you know what? The banana or whatever is in there is sweet enough, and I make the protein bars without sweetener, just the protein powder, coconut butter, coconut oil, and some few little, you know, freeze-dried blueberries and some cacao nibs on top. Oh, my gosh, it's just great. So if you haven't checked that out, you should check out my Dr. Karen Can Facebook page because I posted pictures of that, and just search for protein bar and you'll see that recipe there. So to learn more, go to clovisnutrition.com. Again, it's clovisnutrition.com. So let me unmute Justin here. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Dr. Can. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks. Hey, thanks for doing this for us. We're anxiously awaiting your clarification on some of these questions that I have and a lot of people have. Is with your experience as an athlete, with your experience as a nutritionist and counseling, you know, all these people, why did you decide to promote or be, you know, paleo or eat the paleo diet, and what the heck is it anyway?
Well, for me, it really came from years of athletics. I mean, I played hockey for 10 years when I was a kid, and then I started lifting weights really heavily. Yeah. And then I became a weightlifter at about 15 years old, and then when I got into college, I became a boxer. I was boxing in Boston for many years, and I was just basically what everybody else has been sold is, if you want to lose weight, you need to work out more and eat less, and that's it. So I was just working out like crazy all the time, and then driving down the street and grabbing a Subway sandwich and thinking I was healthy because the commercial said so.
What's really funny
is actually your intro was amazing. I'm freaking out right now because the whole reason I got into paleo was because of the Perfect Human Diet. CJ Hunt is now a friend of mine, which is great. I met him at PaleoFX,
cool.
And we've gotten pretty close over the last few months. Yeah. So that was the turning point for me, was that same documentary.
Oh, that's neat. Now, I haven't watched it in a while because I watched it when it first came out, and they were doing all these, like, you know, high-end, like, DNA kind of studies and stuff and looking at the bones and everything like that. But then, like I said in the intro, when Weston A. Price had, now, of course, they're not Paleolithic, but, you know, these tribes from all over the world that are very, very healthy, and they don't have the illnesses we do, and they have a really, really varied diet. Some of them are, some of them are mostly seafood eaters. Some of them eat tons of dairy, but it's all raw, and those that do eat grains soak and ferment them. They don't eat them the way we do in the Western world, and so they're still really healthy. And so there's an argument of, well, this paleo thing is kind of a fad because we have evidence from, you know, modern day, meaning like, you know, for the last whatever it is, 100 years, that we have healthy tribes that eat this way, and that they're just eating whole foods, they're eating non-processed foods. If they are going to do grains and legumes, they soak them, they cook them properly, and they don't have the problems, you know, that a lot of people have, and that's why they switch to the paleo diet, because they're having inflammation and they're having weight gain. So what's your take on that?
Sure. I think all those points are totally valid. I'm a firm believer in N equals one. You know, all your studies, all the research you do should be based on what works best for you. So, you know, there are studies out there that say that people of Asian descent, up to 95% of them are lactose intolerant, while people of Western European descent can handle dairy pretty well. And it's, you know, while Alaskans can eat nothing but whale blubber and they'll be healthy. But if I tried that,
right,
I would probably have some serious problems that came along with it. So it's about what's figuring out what's best for you. And I totally agree that it's what kind of food are you getting? So bread that you get, I mean, even wine that you get in the U.S., has different standards and regulations than what you would get in Europe. And Europe's standards tend to be much better than ours. So there is a way of looking at it. A loaf of bread there is different than a loaf of bread here, what kind of ingredients are in it, which is why I think that with paleo, I look at it as a basic blueprint. You know, it's not so much about you can only eat these particular things. It's about removing things that generally cause a problem in most people. And they might not cause a problem for you. You might do an elimination diet, remove something for 30 days, and then reintroduce it at the end of 30 days and be fine with it. And that's totally cool. If you can handle dairy, if you can handle grains, if you can handle gluten, that's great. But it doesn't mean that we should demonize paleo as a whole, because there are some outliers who can handle these foods.
Yeah, that's great. I love that, because being, you know, a medical doctor, integrative medicine specialist with some, you know, Asian medicine, that Asian medicine is really about individualization. That's why it's so difficult to put in a study, because you can't treat 100 people the same way in Asian medicine. Everyone is individual. Like in the old days, they took your, you know, tongue and your pulse, and they would say, okay, for you, you have damp heat, so, you know, this is your prescription. And for somebody else with the exact same symptoms, they'll say, oh, wow, you have wind cold, so now you need those herbs and this kind of diet. But in the Western world, they might look like the same diagnosis. They might look like fibromyalgia, for example.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's perfect what you said
true.
About that. And
Yeah.
I was going to say, for folks that wanted to ask you a question, I did open the chat. I forgot to say that earlier on the show, folks. So if you do have a question for Justin, I'm going to be monitoring the chat, so you can go ahead and put your question in. Or if you want to ask a question live, we'll be opening up the phone lines a little later. Don't be shy. The number is 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so we know your hand is up. Again, it's 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so we know your hand's up. And it is much better if you don't call from a Skype line, because it's really difficult to see who's calling, and sometimes we get crank calls. So we need to know what number you're calling from. Yeah, occasionally we get that. So Justin, tell us about this article that you were going to say something, and then I wanted you to tell us about this article you wrote.
Yeah, well, I love that you touched upon skin. You said your skin cleared up. So that's the biggest thing for me with paleo, is everything from skin conditions to neurodegenerative disease, all these problems, basically all modern illness, can somehow be tied or related to inflammation. And I think that paleo is really just the best way to remove inflammation in your body, because if you have a problem with gluten or grains or dairy, it's going to manifest itself in the form of inflammation. So you have people that have, say, you know, struggled with eczema for years, and they've tried steroids and antibiotics and all these things, and all of a sudden, you know, you knock grains and gluten out of their diet, and 30 days later, they have no eczema. You know, so that's really is what I'm looking to do, is just help people who have these chronic illnesses where the medical community has failed them.
Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, being a medical doctor, I can say this and admit this, we really do not get any interesting, at least, nutritional information in medical school. And what we were told, and I know some people are just shocked when I tell them this, but what we were told is that if people eat right, then they don't need, you know, vitamins and minerals. But eating right for us was sort of like, oh, well, you follow the, you know, USDA pyramid, or the, you know, Canadian food pyramid, and you eat, you know, at the time it was like, you know, mostly grains and then blah, 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 blah. We had no idea that there were special interests, you know, that would actually help to co-create these, you know, pyramids. And it was not based in science. I totally thought that what we were taught in school is based in science. You eat tons of whole grains and da-da-da-da-da. It's good for you, all this fiber, fiber, fiber. And now the more I read, the more I see, you know, in movies and books and, you know, various different blogs, I'm just shocked at how inadequate our medical education is. So people like you are helping people that have not been helped by my profession, unfortunately. It's so sad.
Right. It's tough, too, for me, especially because I have an immense amount of respect for doctors. You know, it's obviously their education far exceeds mine. It's just education in a different area. You know, so it's nutrition is a very, very specific thing, and you got to get down into the nitty gritty. And it's like you said, the food pyramid, there was no dietitians, no nutritionists, no doctors, even in the room when that food pyramid was created. So there's actually no scientific data to back it up. And now it's coming around saying, well, you know, we thought that saturated fat was connected to heart disease, but there are multiple forms of saturated fat. And the ones that are directly related to heart disease are actually created in the liver due to the overconsumption of carbohydrates. So it's like, wait, fat is bad and clogs your arteries, but you only get that fat by eating carbohydrates. It's very confusing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Totally, totally. You're giving people oxidized cholesterol or something, you know, in lab
exactly.
tests or something crazy
right.
like that. Yeah, so the average person is like, I think, overwhelmed because they're looking at what's in the store and they're already addicted, if I may use the word, addicted to grains, to bread. And, you know, after reading, you know, like Grain Brain and Wheat Belly, which was very popular, people are just kind of like shocked, like, what do you mean I have to stop eating bread? So how do you handle that in your, you know, your coaching practice?
Well, it depends. Again, it depends on the individual because there's extreme cases where you have someone who comes to you. Well, first things first, I just want to say, you know, cutting out bread and all those things is great. But for me, it's really a carbohydrate problem. And that was the first thing I addressed in the article you're referring to of why you're not losing weight. So, I mean, carbohydrates are really what leads to excess fat. And your body doesn't really know the difference. So you might have a piece of bread or a bowl of oatmeal or a banana or a can of Coca-Cola, and your body's going to process it the same way. So we have a demonized ingredient like high fructose corn syrup, which is high fructose, fructose meaning fruit sugar literally, which is the same molecular fructose as you would find in a banana or an apple or things like that. So someone may eat 3 servings of fruit and take in 90 grams of sugar, and it's basically the equivalent of drinking 2 cans of Coca-Cola. Now, sure, the fruit has some beneficial fiber and some vitamins and minerals and stuff, which just pales in comparison to vegetables, which are much higher in all of those things. But they don't realize it's like, oh, well, fruit is paleo. Sweet potatoes are paleo. So now I'm going to eat 3 sweet potatoes a day, and I'm going to eat all these bananas and apples. Even though I cut out all my grains and gluten, I'm still not losing weight because I'm replacing the carbohydrates with a new source of carbohydrates that just happens to be paleo-friendly. So I start with carb restriction before anything else.
Oh, I see. Okay. How does that go over? Like, how do you share with them how to do that? So if someone's like overwhelmed, they're like, you know, what do I do? How do you kind of make it so that it's kind of user friendly?
That's where it gets difficult, and that's where the individual comes into play because. You know, I have some people, there's a woman I dealt with recently who was, you know, about, she's 5'5" tall and weighed 236 pounds, which is, that's a real problem. She's got some health risks, you know. So for her, I tried to put it in terms of, I always tell my patients, my clients, I'll call them clients, but I don't care what you look like naked. I care if you outlive your parents. You know, so I try to put it in those terms and I say, listen, this is really going to help you in a lot of ways. So with her, I gave her the option. There's the option of, okay, you're drinking 12 Pepsis a day. We're going to reduce that to 6 Pepsis or 8 Pepsis and see what happens. And we're going to see how you handle that. Mm-hmm. Or you're someone like me who loves a challenge. And I say, we're going to go from 12 Pepsis to 0. And unfortunately, you're going to feel really crappy for a few days because you're going to go through a sugar detox. So I've had clients that I walk baby steps, you know, from 12 sodas to 11 to 10 to 9, and they still see results, and the results keep them motivated. So all you have to do is make sure that you're getting them some kind of result to keep them motivated, and you just have to stay positive. You have to say, you know, you're still drinking your favorite soda or whatever, and, you know, it's terrible because in my brain I just want them to be at zero. But I have to understand they've trained themselves to be this way over years. So the best approach is to just try to ingrain in them that we're changing your lifestyle. This is not a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day challenge. It's not any of those things. We are going to change your life. And if you're 50 years old and have been on a standard Western diet, I cannot fix all of your health problems in 2 weeks. I just can't, you know?
Right. Yeah,
so
that's
a
really good point.
Change.
Well, and I think that that you say that, you know, right up front, and that people understand it really is a commitment to wellness, not necessarily a commitment to you or following necessarily everything that you say they should do, but you're kind of, you know, coaching, teaching, supporting, and being at the place where they're able to change. So if you're, you know, if you're like me, if you're like you, you know, we like the challenge, right? Okay, you said I need to do this, I can do this. And then other people are like, I'm going to get overwhelmed. And so you kind of say, okay, well, let's make some changes, and it doesn't have to be drastic overnight. I wanted to share with you some I think it's interesting anyway, feel about what you said earlier about, you know, the three fruit, 90 grams of sugar, you get that, I'm going to just elaborate, you get that insulin spike, right, when you eat all that fruit, and that's pro-inflammatory, that puts on weight. And we won't go into the big biochemistry about it for everyone else on the show, but I know you know. And, of course, there's a lot of sugar, you know, in Coca-Cola. And the energy healer in me says even though the molecules, you know, the fructose is the same and we may get that sugar spike, that on a subtle energy level, that not just the macrobiological nutrients of the fruit or the fiber that is beneficial over the Coke, but on a subtle energy level, frequency level that is very difficult to measure, if at all possible, that fruit is still more beneficial. If you, even if you minus the, you know, vitamins and minerals or whatever per se, than the Coke because of the what's also attached to that subtle energy, you know, in there, you know, there's phosphoric acid in Coca-Cola and, you know, the biological stuff, but there's definitely a subtle energy difference. Like my body is so sensitive, Justin, that sometimes I can eat a perfectly amazing, you know, paleolithic, say, you know, steak or, you know, grass-fed burger from a farmer, and I might start to have a digestive issue soon after, and I muscle tested, it came from that burger. And then I'll ask, you know, is there something wrong with the burger? I get no. And then it'll be that the farmer who, you know, or their land has some sort of curse or imbalance that I can feel when I eat their stuff. So what I ended up doing is I have to, you know, in order to, so I can, you know, have a decent meal and not feel bloated or whatever, is that sometimes I actually have to go and clear whatever it is, that subtle energy that is somehow attached to or have, you know, something to do with that farmer, the food, where I can't tell you how many farms I've had to do this for. And it's not their fault. I mean, it's not even that they know there's anything wrong with their land or their animals or anything like that. But my body's so sensitive, I can feel all that kind of stuff. So sometimes people might, especially empathic people, might get so frustrated because they're eating well, like they think they're eating well, and they don't understand why, you know, they're still reacting to their food. So I just want to comment on what you said earlier about the fruit and the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that is amazing. And that, you know, that's something that a realm that I don't have a lot of experience in. I love that you talk about, you know, the mindfulness stuff and the spirituality, and I've spent some time with some shamans, and I'm a heavy daily meditator, and I try to get into this stuff because I wish I understood it on the level that you do, because, yeah, I mean, in that case, you know, that's not something that I particularly have an answer for. And I do totally agree with you, just even on a mental level, that you're going to instill better behavior in yourself holding a banana in your hand than you would holding a can of Coca-Cola. The same way, like, if I say, hey, beef is paleo, and you go to McDonald's, get a burger, remove the bun, and eat that ridiculous beef patty, whatever it is, versus a nice grass-fed burger from a farmer, there's a mental aspect and an emotional and spiritual aspect there that's definitely important. You're just training your body, hey, I'm making a positive decision. Now, if you run into a problem with the farm or something, yeah, that's amazing. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I was like, well, should I tell Justin this live on the show or not? But here, it just popped out of my mouth, so there we go. Now, we do have a question here on the chat. As an older person, I see skin tags, and I see more and more of them. Do you feel it might be a carbohydrate problem? And have you ever seen them go away? Will they ever go away without having medical removal? So I don't even know how to answer that. So your thoughts, Justin, on that question?
Yeah, it certainly could be a carbohydrate problem. What I would start with are the most pro-inflammatory. Obviously, people talk a lot about gluten. The problem with gluten is people will ditch gluten and then go to the grocery store and buy a bunch of pre-made gluten-free products, which have a lot of other sugars and starches and stuff that just replace the gluten. So they're just as detrimental, and they have a ton of carbohydrates. I would try maybe a 30-day protocol to remove gluten and grains and just see what happens. The other option is there are a lot of great companies out there. I hope it's okay if I name some companies, but there's
absolutely,
companies
whatever
like,
you use.
Sure, yeah. There's companies like Fatworks is a great one. There's another one, Primal Life Organics. They have these great products. They're skin products. You can put them on your face. There's cleansers or lotions and all these things, but they're made of things like animal fat. So obviously, like, your skin is your biggest organ. If you're going to put something on your skin, you should be comfortable ingesting that through your mouth. So if you can't eat it, you really shouldn't be putting it on your skin. But I've seen some amazing results for acne and eczema and things like that. Fatworks has great facial creams, and so does Primal Life Organics. They have everything from deodorant to toothpaste, and all of these products, you could literally eat them, and they're 100% safe. So you put them on your skin, and you can get some great benefits. Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of them, so thank you. Oh, I love the connections, and, thank you for sharing those. Well, and this particular person I know, and she's actually off grains completely, but definitely has had a sweet tooth, and so it's a little, has been a little bit of a struggle, staying off sweets. So that's a toughie. And do you have any hints as far as, how people can kind of quash some of those sweet cravings?
So here's the thing about cravings. Now, one thing I'll add really quick is I would suggest that she try something like krill oil, get some beneficial omega-3s, and don't be afraid to supplement 3 grams of krill oil a day, and it's very, very anti-inflammatory, so that might help with the skin thing. In terms of the sugar cravings, so for example, like the woman I cited earlier that was 236 pounds, I put her on an ebook protocol that I wrote, and 14 days later, she weighed 216 pounds. So we went down 20 pounds in 2 weeks. So the thing about the sugar cravings that you'll notice, and I promise people this, and they never believe me, and it always works out for them if they just stick with it, is if you can go 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and you can just stop with the sugar, the cravings will go away. So a decrease in carbohydrates has to come with an increase in healthy fatty acids. So if you're removing sugar and then you're eating, let's say, an avocado a day and a half a cup of macadamia nuts, and you're cooking with grass-fed butter or some cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil, and you're adding those healthy fats. Healthy fats are going to keep you fuller longer. So there's this idea of snacking. Everyone's like, I need a snack. What are my snacks? What are my snacks? If you eat enough fat at each meal, even 4 hours later, you should not be hungry because you're giving your body what it needs. Snacking is, if you think about anthropological evidence, like we talked about In Search of the Human Diet, C.J. Hunt's documentary and everything, really human beings have always been intermittent fasting. You know, they'll kill an animal, they have a big feast, and then it's however many hours or even days until their next meal. So snacking is a thing that we've come up with in our modern times because most of us are what I call sugar burners, where your primary source of fuel is sugar. So you get spikes and crashes all day long, and you're hungry and you need a snack. Well, quick snacks are usually full of carbohydrates and sugar. So if you can just get it right for a few weeks, I mean, your taste buds will change, your cravings will change, everything changes. And you get to the point where I always like to tell people, if I walk in a real estate office and I see a bowl of fake fruit, in a millisecond, my brain looks at that and says, not food. that's fake. I can't pick up that fake pear and take a bite of it. Yeah, because it's plastic. It's plastic fruit. So your brain says, nope,
oh,
I
see.
Can't
you
do
mean
that.
Literally. Okay, got it.
Literally, yeah. So my brain now, after 5 years of strict paleo and ketogenic and all the experimentation I've done, if I see a box of Cinnabons, I have that same exact reaction. My brain just says, not food, because
not
I've trained
food.
It. You have to train it.
Yeah.
You have to unwire this programming that you have, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's really neat, because I know my, you know, I still, well, I try not to bug my husband, because he's stronger, thinner, and more muscular and, you know, than I am. And I'm the super sensitive one, and he'll go, and sometimes, you know, he had major gluten issues that, you know, we did some energy work and cleaned up his gut somewhat. And I mean, yeah, it's a husband, so he's not going to do everything that I ask, of course. But he's much more tolerant of gluten now. So he'll go out and he'll all of a sudden, I'll find some wrapper in the car of like this French bagel or baguette that he got from the store. Not even the natural food store. We're talking like Hannaford's or Price Chopper. Like, really? You know, and then of course if he eats it a couple of days in a row, then he's like, uh-oh, my back's hurting. Oh, my, you know, my elbow's hurting or whatever. And I'm like, did you have sugar recently? No. Oh, yeah, wait, I did. You know?
Yep,
it doesn't
yep.
bother him when I make, you know, homemade ice cream with full-fat, you know, coconut milk and you know, strawberries and stuff like that. But the commercial stuff he does. But when I look at some of the stuff in the store – that his eyes would go, you know, yum. I'm just like, yeah, exactly what you said. Not food. Blank.
Yeah.
You know, walk away. Like it doesn't bother me to go to the Halloween party and see all the goodies or whatever, and go, yeah, whatever. You know, I'll go for the yeah. Actually, sometimes I don't go for even some of the other regular food, but you know, it's like I'll go for the you know vegetable, or I'll go for the meatloaf or something like that, or bring my own food, you know, which I often do because
yeah.
I don't really care about that stuff. It's just you know, I like what you said about training that brain. Just eventually, it's not food to your brain. That's amazing. So 3 to 5 weeks, huh? Stopping sugar.
Yeah. That's when you'll start to know. I mean, you're going to get results very quickly. Like the woman that dropped 20 pounds in 2 weeks. Now, that's very, very typical. I see between 15 to 20 pounds in 2 weeks all the time. Now, it does depend on if you're trying to lose your last 5 pounds, you know, it might take 30 days. If you're clinically obese, you're going to drop weight very, very quickly. The more you have excess, the faster you're going to lose it. Mm. But it really is probably a few weeks, you know, 30 days around there where you'll start to notice like, hey, somebody walked by me with a box of donuts and I didn't really care. You know, it takes time for that. And it's not just training your brain, it's training your body because glucose, well, aka sugar, is used in your body to produce energy much faster than fat is. So there's this misconception that like if I'm running on a treadmill, I'm burning fat. That's not true. You're just burning sugar. As long as there is sugar in your bloodstream, which, you know, the storage form of sugar being glycogen and glucose, which is what circulates in your bloodstream, as long as that's in your bloodstream, you cannot burn fat. So if you're eating a ton of sugar all the time and you're working out, that's why the idea that exercising more leads to fat loss is not true. I mean, fat loss is really 99% nutrition. You can definitely accelerate it if your diet's right. But if your diet is wrong, it doesn't matter how much you work out. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, totally. I just did this 12-week thing. I mean, people are going to hear about it next week, but I, you know, did this 12-week, you know, high-intensity training, weightlifting, you know, 3 times a week, and it was rest-based training. I mean, it was really high-end, like, new stuff, and by the data, it should have worked on me, but it didn't because, you know, the whole thing about eating less, training more, well, it's it's not true.
It's not backed up by science. Right. That's where I kind of see people's brains explode for a second because I bring them to this ebook protocol that I have. And I have a disclaimer attached to it. I say, for the next 4 weeks, you are not working out. And they're like, what?
Wow.
You said I could lose 10 to 30 pounds in 30 days. Like, I need to be working out every day. I'm like, no, that's actually extremely detrimental. If your body is not in a healthy place and your body doesn't know how to burn fat, which you have to teach it how to do. Now, ironically, all human beings are born in ketosis. That's why breast milk is nothing but fat. We're built to burn fat. And then we get introduced to carbohydrates thanks to the standard Western diet, and we're off to the races. We're just burning carbohydrates forever. So you have to restrict the carbohydrates and teach your body how to burn fat. So the only way to do that is just remove the glucose from the bloodstream, which is carbohydrates. So my ebook protocol recommends less than, and I say this in my video and the article that you're talking about, why you're not losing weight, I recommend less than 50 grams of net carbohydrates per day. If you can stay under that 50 grams, you are going to lose fat. It's just all, it's the bottom line. But you have to teach your body, and it takes a couple of days. It starts feeling the sugar detox and all these things. It's like coming down off of drugs, you know? It's like a heroin detox off of sugar, but you have to go through it because your body doesn't know how to burn fat. And this is extreme, but when you remove all of the carbohydrates and sugar, your body has two choices. One choice is to die, and the second choice is to find an alternative fuel source. And that alternative fuel source is fat. And I promise you, you're not going to die. No matter how you feel, your body is going to start burning fat for fuel. And then it's just this incredible snowball effect where once your body learns, each day it gets more and more efficient at burning fat for fuel, and eventually it will prefer it. And you just become a fat-burning machine.
That is cool. Now, the other question here was, what about protein? I thought it was necessary to stave off hunger. Is fat more important than protein?
Fat is far more important to stave off hunger, yes. Now, protein is, this is another problem with the paleo diet, is people think that it's the caveman diet. I'm going to eat ribeyes and salmon and chicken all day long, every single day. Now, this depends on, so for most nutrition protocols, people like to cite celebrities, and that drives me crazy. It's like, oh, Michael Phelps eats 5 pizzas a day. I'm like, okay, well, if you can spend 8 hours swimming laps a day, then you get to do that. But you're not Michael Phelps. So the thing is, people drastically overestimate what they need for protein. So you have bodybuilders will say you need at least 1 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So the problem is that some protein, if you overeat protein, excess protein will actually be converted to glucose in your system. So a very high protein diet will basically add carbohydrates to your system. That's an extreme oversimplification of it. But again, I don't want to get into all those nitty-gritty details. But protein is absolutely necessary. But for the typical person, I say you should take your overall body weight in pounds and multiply that by 0.6. So you're getting 0.6 grams of protein per pound of body weight. That should be your minimum. And you'll be fine there. You really will be fine. But, you know, someone like me, I eat about 200 grams of fat a day. I just eat a ton of fat. So that's really the way to stave off the hunger.
Okay. That's really interesting. Now, I read several different, like, keto books or ketogenic diet books, and that the 50 grams of carbohydrates, how close is that to what they consider the ketogenic diet, which is fat heavy?
It's very close. So it depends on who you ask. So a low carbohydrate diet is usually going to be under 100 grams of carbs a day. I think for ideal fat loss, you have to hit less than 50 net carbs per day. Ketogenic usually says it's usually under 20 for males and under 30 for women. Women just need more carbohydrates in general, and that's due to different hormone issues. But yeah, typically you're under 20 or 30. So I was in nutritional ketosis for 6 weeks, and I did daily blood draws the same way that a diabetic would, just a little pinch of my finger every morning, which I don't recommend because the strips are $5 a piece, so it gets really expensive. But I was under 20 net carbs a day, and that is very, very difficult, and I just don't see this sustainable. But for some reason, I can stay under 50. I've been under 50 for years at this point. And that's the thing, like you said at the beginning, I mean, I was a boxer for 4 years, and I'm obsessed with physical fitness. So I'm in Nashville now, I was in Boston, and I hit the heavy bag, I do jujitsu a couple times a week, I do Olympic lifting, I do CrossFit and powerlifting sometimes, and I never have an energy issue. So it drives me crazy when people are like, well, I'm doing CrossFit, I get to eat 600 grams of carbs a day. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to be a chubby CrossFitter. Sorry about that. You know, it's
okay.
Tough.
Well, we got somebody here with a question, but before I unmute the person, if you could explain for those that aren't familiar with the terminology, what is a net carb and how many, what does 50 grams actually translate into in the real world? Like, if you could give us some examples.
Yeah, 50 grams is actually quite a bit when you learn the trick of net carbs. So the only carbohydrate that doesn't count, I guess, is the most oversimplified way to say that. But dietary fiber is a carbohydrate that cannot be absorbed by the body. So the question becomes, well, why do we have dietary fiber? Dietary fiber serves a bunch of different roles. It helps with the digestive process, of course, but what it also does is it feeds your beneficial gut bacteria. So us, our human cells, and the way that we are, we don't have the enzymes necessary to digest dietary fiber. But believe it or not, our little friendly gut bacteria that live in your intestines, they can digest it. So they'll actually ferment that fiber because you can't break it down. So it actually ferments and the gut bacteria breaks it down. It helps with things like, you know, moving stool and going to the bathroom and that kind of thing. And it's great for your gut bacteria. But because you can't use it, it doesn't count as a carbohydrate. So it's the same as gross income versus net income. So like if you have your money that you get in your paycheck minus taxes becomes your net. So it's the same with carbohydrates. If I have, you know, broccoli, let's say, or a great example is like chia seeds, like one of my favorite foods, right? It'll have like 15 grams of carbohydrates, but 14 grams of dietary fiber. Well, that's only one net carb. So you look at the nutrition facts, you take total carbohydrates and subtract dietary fiber. That's your net carbohydrate intake. So you can actually eat very high carbohydrate foods as long as they have a dietary fiber intake that keeps your net carbs low.
Ah, okay. Now, what about now? A lot of people will switch from white potatoes that they heard was bad to like sweet potatoes, but you're saying sweet potatoes is a lot of high net carbs.
It's actually not that bad. I think one medium sweet potato is somewhere probably around 25 to 30 grams of carbohydrates, and there is some fiber in there, so it might be less than that net. I don't know off the top of my head. The potato debate is interesting because paleo says you can have sweet potatoes but not white potatoes. But white potatoes and sweet potatoes, when you remove the skin, they are virtually identical. They're very close. Like sweet potatoes has a lot more vitamin A. That's cool, but like if you're eating a lot of healthy fats, you don't have to worry about that anyway. But, yeah, I mean, so that's the thing is I'm not taking away fruit. I'm not taking away sweet potatoes. I'm not taking away these things. But you have to just check every single label and make sure you're staying under that 50 grams of net. So, yeah, you could eat – you could probably have, half a sweet potato and a cup of berries in your morning smoothie and then maybe some broccoli and then some almonds or some chia seeds. And you might get up to, you know, 30, 40 net carbs. But, I mean, really, you can take in quite a few carbohydrates if you're choosing the right foods.
Oh, that's interesting. So, okay. So so my typical day is I'll have like a cup of frozen strawberries in my smoothie, which I make with your powder, which is absolutely delicious, by the way. and that'll be my breakfast. I'll actually put either some ghee in there, or if I'm lazy, I'll put some MCT oil in there. I know that's somewhat processed, but, you know, I'll put some MCT just to increase the fat. And then I wait till about, you know, 10, 11 o'clock to, you know, eat the shake. And then I have pre-made paleo at work, which is a company that makes paleo meals. So I might have, you know, 5 to 7 ounces of, say, roast chicken. And then they have, like, paleo. Sometimes they'll have, you know, some sweet potatoes. And that's, like, I think 7 ounces of that kind of vegetable, you know, medley. And then at dinner, I might have, you know, chicken wings and some beets, maybe like, you know, one beet, you know, something like that, and a bunch of chicken wings. But then, you know, on occasion, I might have, you know, a cup of, you know, homemade ice cream, you know, that has the coconut milk and the cacao powder and the, you know, the honey, that kind of thing. It doesn't sound like I'm eating a lot of carbs. I don't know, but I could be wrong. And maybe I'll have an apple, but not always.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. The only one that I would be worried about is the very last one you just threw in, was the apple, because you have apples, pineapples, bananas, those kinds of fruits are way up there. You might have like 23 grams of carbs just in that one apple. So I would probably cut that out. But everything else you said sounds great. I would definitely bet that you're under 50 net.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I know there's lots of resources online for people to find out these carbohydrate amounts in their food. Do you have a resource that you use?
Yeah, Google.
Okay.
Google is great. I mean, they have like hundreds. It's so crazy. Like if you Google banana nutrition right now, they bring up this awesome little chart. You can change the serving size. You can do one medium, one half, or 100 grams. And it's really, really cool. I love it. And that's the struggle, too, because when you promote this kind of paleo thing, you have a lot of people buying produce or fruits or nuts or some things that don't always have nutrition facts attached to them. So you have to Google it.
Right, exactly. Well, let me unmute before my next question. Let me unmute this person here. Phone number ending in 8168. Do you have a question for Justin? Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Karen and Scott?
Hey, Scott. Oh, Scott, this is great that you're on the show. So Scott is one of my remote patients, Justin, and he's an incredible learner. So he's also an athlete and coach. So what's your question, Scott?
Alrighty. You know, I have autoimmune disease, you know, the diabetes, you know, type 1 diabetic, and Hashimoto's thyroid disease. Just, you know, listening to you, I'm pretty close or definitely below, you know, the 50 grams of carbohydrates, yet, you know, my body still has the inflammation. Would you consider cutting out carbs completely?
Well, I don't know that I would cut out carbs completely. I would track, just read every label of everything you put in your body at least for a week or two and get an idea of where your net carbs are, just know for sure. And the other thing that I would do is, again, we talked about this with the woman with skin issues, is anything inflammation related, you're going to want to up those healthy fats. Your omega-3s, more importantly, are going to really be anti-inflammatory. So I would find something like a cod liver oil or a krill oil. Man, I would take about 3 grams of that a day. And then the other thing that you want to do is increase all of your polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. The best way to do that, probably things like maybe some olive oil or some macadamia nuts, almond nuts. Those are great for you. A lot of avocados, a ton of fiber, some great, great healthy fats there. A lot of the issues that you're talking about seem to be related to, from what I'm hearing, to some hormone issues, some hormone imbalances. That's the other thing is, like, what people don't realize is something like testosterone, you cannot create testosterone without cholesterol. You literally cannot do it. It's impossible. So fat is super, super important here. Fat is very, very beneficial. So again, I tell people, if you're going to go low carb, that has to go hand in hand with an increase in healthy dietary fats.
And so what are your thoughts on duck fat, tallow, that kind of thing?
Pasture, fantastic. Yeah. There's another, you know what? I think I mixed up today. Sorry, go ahead.
I do eat a lot of bone soup. I have a lot of extra virgin coconut oil. I say, you know, a moderate amount of olive oil.
Okay. Yeah, that's another thing that I would track. It's a pain in the butt at first, but really just track your fat intake and track your carbohydrate intake. And again, don't be afraid of supplementation. I would really recommend a good omega-3 source, krill oil or cod liver oil. And another great one is turmeric. Turmeric is great for anti-inflammation, so I would add a couple of grams of that to your daily routine as well.
And you could also tell your patients when Phelps was out of the pool, like after the 2012 Olympics, when he was considering a comeback, he was 20 to 30 pounds heavier.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So.
yeah, that's great.
Right. Yeah, well, Scott coaches swimming, so that's why he knows these stats, Justin.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
And also, his diet got blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, I think so, too. I love examples like that, too. We'll say, like, The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, he eats 3 large pizzas every Sunday. You're like, well, he's also 10,000 feet tall and weighs 700 pounds. So, what are you going to do?
Exactly. So, Scott, do you have any other questions for Justin?
No. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. Well, you know, Justin, this sounds, I know people think it's kind of weird, but to put ghee or, not so much coconut oil, but, you know, ghee in that kind of fat in a smoothie. Have you ever done it, or do you have people that do that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I will put grass-fed butter in paleo powder. My favorite thing, you can try this too, is I will take paleo powder and I will boil water, and I actually use boiling water in the paleo powder, and I let it sit for a few minutes, and then I add MCT oil and grass-fed butter. It's basically the bulletproof coffee recipe without the coffee, and it is amazing. You get a ton of healthy fats, and it tastes like the best cup of hot chocolate you've ever had.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't tried that. Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, it's so good. And you
know
what?
Gosh.
It's a very sneaky way. It's a sneaky way to get children to eat more healthy fats because they just think they're drinking hot chocolate.
So what are your proportions then?
I use one tablespoon of each. So one tablespoon of unsalted grass-fed butter. And the MCTs I use are actually the Bulletproof brand, the C8s, the brain octane.
Mm-hmm. The brain octane, right. Okay, and then how much paleo powder? The whole three scoops, or?
Yep, full serving size. So full serving size of paleo powder and one tablespoon of each. Now, the brain octane, just for your listeners, is they might see it and say, wow, this price is crazy. It's a very expensive product. He also has XCT oil, which is a little bit cheaper. And then Now Foods, NOW, they make a great MCT oil. The only difference is brain octane is just C8. It's one form of medium chain triglyceride, where the other oils will have a mixture of C8 and C10, both very beneficial.
Okay. Well, I've been using the one that my distributor carries, which is Douglas Labs, and the only reason I use theirs over the other ones the distributor carries is because they're the only ones that said it's not made of corn, that it was actually made of coconut oil. Yeah, and I'm like, well, you know,
gotcha.
The whole GMO thing, they're like, oh, well, it's oil, it's corn, it should be fine because it's just oil. But, again, subtle energy, if you take – the subtle energy of GMO corn, and even though molecularly the MCT is MCT, there's subtle energy attached to it. So if there's a GMO corn, there's a certain energy attached to GMO corn that I don't want in my MCT oil because people like me are going to feel it. So, yeah.
That's I'm
the
with
one
you 100%. That's super interesting.
Yeah, so tell us more about the Perfect Paleo Powder, and I really like it. Now, I have to tell you, when I first looked at the grams of carbohydrate or sugar in it, I thought, wow, this is a lot higher than my other, you know, bone protein powders, my, you know, Pure Paleo Powder or my whey powder. But I know, you know, for some people, whey and dairy is a big trigger, so they can't necessarily do whey powder. So tell us what's in it, and why did you create this particular powder the way you did?
Sure. Well, what I was trying to accomplish is when I first switched to paleo, which is probably about 5 years ago now, I was finding it was like, well, you need to eat avocados, and you need to eat omega-3s, and you need to eat grass-fed beef, and you need to get a bunch of vegetables. And I was like, there's so much food to eat. I was like, this is very difficult.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find a way to get it all into one. Now, me, I've been taking whey protein since I was 15 years old. All through all my athletic endeavors, I've always been taking whey protein. And when I went back to school and got my nutrition certifications and all those things, I start really examining the ingredients on my favorite products. And I'm going, I can't put this in my body. There's just there's so many chemicals, words I can't even pronounce. I have to find something else. And I couldn't. At the time, so I developed the formula over 2 years ago, and I made it in my kitchen with food processors, food dehydrators, my ovens, some stovetop work.
Wow.
And it was kind of crazy. I just took like my favorite paleo superfoods, and gosh, the first formula had coconut milk and dehydrated chicken livers and salmon caviar, and it was terrible.
that was something I tried, so thank you for telling me not to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I made my family drink it. They were devastated. But they were my guinea pigs. But so my goal was, it's really interesting. So now there are a bunch of paleo proteins out there. Some are just called paleo protein. And you look at the ingredients, and generally speaking, you're going to have 2 to 3 ingredients. It'll be beef protein and stevia, or egg protein and stevia. So it's these 2 ingredients. So you're dealing with food extracts. Well, the thing is, your body doesn't work that way. So if you're eating a meal, you're not getting 100% protein. You're not getting 100% carbohydrates. You're not getting 100% fats. You're getting a mixture of beneficial fatty acids, dietary fiber, carbohydrates, protein. You're getting it all at the same time, and that's the way that your body handles things. So the reason why I have this, I set out to make a 100% whole food ingredient product, and that's what I did. It is 100% whole foods. The reason why we're certified paleo is because the Paleo Foundation studied all my supply chain, my sources, my cleaning methods, my manufacturing methods. It is 100% paleo friendly. There's nothing synthetic or artificial. So it works like a meal in your body. You have 12 net carbs. You have 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids. You have 27 grams of protein. So you're getting all these things at once. The list of vitamins and minerals is incredibly long. It works like a meal. So you have, you know, a paleo-friendly powder that's an extract. It's just it's a beef isolate. Beef isolates have no fatty acid. They have no dietary fiber. They just have nothing. It's just amino acids. So it's the difference between a true meal replacement, getting a true paleo meal in a convenient shake, or just getting food extracts in a shake. You know, that's really the difference between my powder and other powders.
I see. And I noticed that because I know I grilled you this when I first emailed you. I said, how come, you know, that, you know, some of the other brands will say this is from grass-fed, you know, cows in Australia or something, and, you know, is yours mm-hmm. pastured? And so maybe you can share with our audience what your answer to my question was.
Yeah, the grass-fed debate is hilarious to me. it's been a huge thorn in my side because, like, I was at PaleoFX, and two of the big things that I got was, one, why is there so much sugar? There's 9 grams of sugar from organic coconut palm sugar. And they say, I can't eat your product. I eat zero sugar. And I go, oh, that's fantastic. But you're eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, right? Oh, yeah, 6 servings of fruit a day. I'm like, okay, well, that's about 100 grams of sugar right there. So I'm trying to educate people on what sugar is. So the sugar exists in the powder simply because salmon protein does not taste good by itself. And you need to – I just need the powder to taste good because I want people to drink it.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the story on the sugar. But the grass-fed debate is interesting because a lot of people don't know what the reason behind grass-fed is. So grass-fed benefits, if you have a grass-fed cow, is usually a ton more fat-soluble vitamins, especially it has about twice as much vitamin A. Vitamins D, E, and K are a lot higher in grass-fed pasture-raised animals. And then you have the benefit of the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio. So for your listeners as well, a key to inflammation, reducing inflammation, is having – you want to get as close to a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 as you can. So grain-fed cattle, a ton of omega-6 and almost no omega-3s. While omega-6 is inflammatory, omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. That's why you need the ratio. So if you have a grass-fed cow, you have a lot more beneficial omega-3s, then that's going to be really, really good for your overall health. The problem is, if you have a powdered protein isolate that comes from a cow, the total fat content is zero. Why? Because they strip the beneficial fatty acids because it is an isolate. That's what an isolate is. It's an isolated amino acid product. So you don't have the beneficial fats. Not only that, but since there are no beneficial fats, you're not getting the benefit of fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. So the amino acids from grain-fed to grass-fed are identical. So the only argument you can make at that point is sustainability and the treatment, ethical treatment of the animal. So to give an example, my beef protein as it stands right now is sourced from cows that have access to pasture year-round. So they are pasture-raised cows. They are antibiotic-free, they are hormone-free, and they are non-GMO. This is all certified. The only difference is in the winter months, they have access to grains to prevent underfeeding. So if they're hungry during wintertime, they can go grab some grains if they want to. They're not force-fed, they're not feedlot. I mean, they're happy, healthy animals, and the amino acid profile is absolutely identical to that of 100% grass-fed.
Ah, I see. Okay, yeah, well, that was really important because we wanted, you know, wherever the source was, to be humane and as much as possible, of course, and non-GMO, that was another big piece. I really needed to know that there was non-GMO and no antibiotics or hormones. So that answered my question. And do you have any, like, bone-like stuff in there? Because I know the Designs for Health, their pure paleo powder is, like, 70% made with bone. I didn't know that until Dr. Kellyanne came out with her product, and I know it's private labeled from Designs for Health. So it's, I think, made from hydro beef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to be completely transparent, which I always want to be, my beef protein isolate is hydro beef. So that I have two forms of beef protein in my product. So I have the same one that she's talking about, which is hydro beef. Mm-hmm. And the number one in my list of ingredients is, it's listed as beef protein on the ingredients. That is beef collagen peptides. So a lot of the benefits that come from bone broths and cooking those bones overnight and getting them in that real hot water is the joints and ligaments that are collagen. So there are actually collagen proteins right now. Like there are some other companies out there making great collagen, like Vital Proteins. I love them.
I don't care. Yeah. Love their stuff.
Yeah, I don't care if they're a competitor or what. I met the founder. She's awesome. I use her product. It's great. She's got great stuff. So collagen is very beneficial, and my number one ingredient is beef collagen peptides. So a lot of the same benefits you'd get from a broth.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and you know, it totally makes sense what you're saying now is that, you know, this is more like a whole food, whereas most powders are these isolates. You get just protein, and one of my beefs, pun intended, is that when I'm using this powder, that I just find like I just have to add more stuff to it, like more fat especially, because a lot of it's just protein, right? Like in these isolates, and there's no fat.
Sure.
And yours actually has fat in it, thankfully. And that's great. And I got to tell you, I really didn't know how it was going to taste. I'm thinking salmon, not sure. I love salmon, but in a powder, I'm not really sure. But I actually really, really like it, and that's why I'm having so much fun making these bars and experimenting. I mean, they might not be low-carb bars because I put, like, freeze-dried blueberries in them, but they are so good, and I feed them to unsuspecting people. Like, hey, try this bar. They have no idea that it's made with beef, salmon, and chicken protein, and they love them. And, I mean, even when I have this little snack and this, you know, tiny piece of this bar, it is like chocolate nougat to me. It tastes so good. I'm like, who needs chocolate? Like, who needs chocolate bars, you know? And it's so much better for you with all that yummy stuff. So, and I know you have on your website the whole list of the whole food ingredients. I mean, just amazing stuff in there. Maybe you can share with people how to get it, how they can try it, you know, what the costs are, that kind of thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so you can go to clovisnutrition.com, which is C-L-O-V-I-S nutrition.com. By the way, our chocolate flavor is actually called cacao. Because the flavoring is 100% organic cacao beans from Madagascar. So it's not just like we took chocolate with sugar and milk and butter and all that and threw it in there. It's like the actual cacao. So it's just a really, really great whole food chocolate flavor.
High quality.
But clovisnutrition.com, yeah, exactly. We have our normal tub is a 2-pound tub, which is 18 servings. It retails for $69.99. And we have a subscription service, which you can get as many bottles as you want per month that will just auto ship. That will save you 10% on your overall order. So it comes out to $63 per bottle. We also offer sample packs. There are you get 3 single serving packs, and just each pack is a full serving. So you just mix it with 6 ounces of water, or I prefer coconut milk. It's amazing with coconut milk.
Then
the only other product we have in there right now is T-shirts, if you want to get a cool T-shirt.
Great. Now, one question here is, do you have another flavor coming out besides cacao? Because on the rare occasion, we get somebody who does not like chocolate flavor.
We do. Top secret.
No.
It's okay. I'm totally joking around. But again, from Madagascar, we have a formula coming out that is vanilla that uses 100% organic vanilla beans from Madagascar. So that's actually going to be called Madagascar Vanilla. Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. Yes, because I have some people waiting in the wings. do you have a time frame for that at all, Justin?
I do not right now. I wish I did because trust me, I've sampled it and it is amazing. So I wish I had it myself right now.
Oh no, that's good. Well, and then the last question I want to ask you is about you mentioned about your ebook protocol. So is this something people can buy on your website and you know that kind of thing?
Yeah, I will actually give you the, I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. I wonder if I could give you a link for your website to get them, because the ebook is free. My blog, clovisnutrition.com/blog, most of those articles, actually like 99% of the articles are written by me, and all my nutrition information is free. So I have quote-unquote clients that I take on, and I have a zillion of them right now, and it's a little overwhelming, but I don't charge anyone. So it's like if you want nutrition advice, just ask me and I'll give it to you. And if you feel like you need to give me something, just go buy a bottle and we'll call it even. So the ebook protocol is completely free. I just want people to have that information. You know what I'm going to do as well when I get off this call, it'll just take me a second. For your listeners, I'm going to go ahead and make a coupon code. So I'll just have them use. Let's just say. Let's say Karen. How's that work?
That's easy. Yep, so, that'll work.
Yeah. So if you enter a promo code Karen at checkout at clovisnutrition.com, just enter Karen and I'll give you 15% off bottles and sample packs.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, that is great.
Yeah, sure thing.
And then do they opt into a newsletter or anything to get the ebook for free? How does that work?
For the ebook, yes, it's a landing page and they'll be required just to trade me their email for the free information.
Okay. That'll work. Great. CloverNutrition.com.
Yeah.
Justin, this has been an absolute delight having you on the show today. Thank you so much. I'm just so thrilled that you were able to do this with us. And like I said, great product. I don't like to promote products unless I've tried it and it's passed the taste test. And yours definitely does. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love being here. And I love that the live calling. That's awesome. I'd like to do more of that. That's great.
Fantastic. Great.
Oh,
and I want to also, yeah, go ahead.
I have one correction. I noticed it when I was talking to your friend Scott there. I said fat works for the skincare. The skincare line is actually fat face. So the word fat and then
face.
F-A-C-E. Yes. Oh, fat works is also a great company. And they make like beef tallow and duck fat and all these things. So fat works is great. Fat face is for the skincare. And then there is Primal Life Organics for skincare as well.
Okay. Oh, great, great resources. Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, sure thing.
And thanks, everyone, for listening in as well and for calling in and for people asking questions on the chat. It's been so much fun. And until next time, we'll have a great week and talk to everybody later. Bye, Justin. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.